I'm Jason.
I'm Z.
I am Michael.
I'm Alex.
And you're in this, now you see, here we go. If this was earlier, it would have been a project. It would have been a side project. But now it's a band. Is it a band?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's totally
It is a band. And what is the band called?
It's called Phases.
Yeah, you've got a major label contract. It has to be a band.
One would hope so.
We're in real trouble.
So, let me fill in a bunch of weird blanks. There's a Rilo, there's a Phantom, there's a Like, there's Best Friends, there's Karaoke, there's an 80s club in the valley for which you are named. See, we got rid of that.
Ta-da.
That's over with.
There are rumors going around about how the band started, and we have been giving the kind of standard answer of we met at a karaoke place. And
but that's not true.
Totally not true. We actually met at the Train Museum in Los Angeles. And we all came together at the very end of the park because we had all heard this rumor that the train from Back to the Future 3 was being showcased there. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
That was a tough moment.
Yeah, but we were the only four people there at the very end of the park with nothing to do but to feel sorry for ourselves.
And start
a band. And the name of the band Train was taken, so yeah. You had to do something else.
Sadly.
Yeah, and we couldn't use Back to the Future 3 for obvious copyright reasons. You guys want to continue?
You could have named the band Fox after Michael J. Or you could name the band Michael J.
Doc Brown.
You're on Kimmel. You're there. You're touring, you're doing stuff, but there is a story. There is a reason that you kind of woke up and said, you know, this is not what we're going to be doing a couple of years from now.
I mean, interesting, like, I feel like it was kind of all of those things in its way. The inception of J-Jams, which was our former incarnation, was, I mean, it started totally for fun and without any thought, without any like real idea as to what we would sound like. We made a record over the course of years, like going into the studio whenever we could.
And because, like, you were in other places.
Because we were all in other bands.
Right. That was really a project, right? You didn't intend it to turn into a thing.
And then not only that, but we made this record, like, not really thinking about where it would go. And then all of our bands kind of broke up at the same time and allowed us to do that. But we had a record that, while I think we all really like it, it wasn't like, oh, this is my vision, this is my life, this is my passion.
Yeah, it wasn't made as a cohesive album, so nothing about that band was cohesive.
Yeah, because it was, from its inception, this kind of scattered side project.
I do think that at a certain point we decided to make it a real band and make it our focus, but we, as individuals and as a unit, weren't ready to do that, and at that moment weren't really, like,
was it just
qualified
too soon after all these
it's just that
breakups?
I think that we had partly it was too soon. Like, I jumped right from being in the Like to being in J-Jams without really thinking about what that meant. And also, we've been friends for so long. We have personally been through so much with each other, and also the respite of having J-Jams as this side project that we could go to escape our other bands. And then that all of a sudden being our band without, like, any of the real structure you need to form like a solid unit. It was just like, it was scattered. So it took us a while of, you know, we toured that record and we're all like, is this the music we want to be making? I don't know. And then it kind of got to a point where we were working on new things and it didn't really have a sound. It didn't really have a focus. And it wasn't until we really found that sound that we went, I mean, for me, I was thinking about moving. I was thinking we might never be friends. We might never make music together. This could be the end of it. And then we started making music that made me go, this is something new. This is something different. This is what I want to be doing with my life. And this is what I want to be saying. And these are the people I want to be saying it with.
Okay, so somewhere in this mix of this, Alex went into a cocoon, right? For 2 years. Now, tell me the trajectory of the cocoon, because then when you emerged from the cocoon, everybody went,
"Whoa,
butterfly. This is where we want to go," right? So where in the trajectory of J-Jams did the cocoon start? Or was it when she threatened to leave and you said, "She can't leave, I've got to go into a cocoon"?
No, the cocoon was underway. Sometime around 2012, and third tour J-Jams had, I realized that wasn't the right thing for me to be doing.
And so everybody individually was kind of like yuckarama,
messed up.
And it was in that moment that it was the wrong thing to be doing. You know, it's not that I hate touring or I hate these guys.
It
just wasn't right. And there was something that was really wearing on me. And that thing turned out to be, I, in a Brian Wilson kind of way, really wanted to just sit down with the music I've been making for the last 15, 20 years of my life and really look at it and see what parts of it I loved and what parts of it I didn't and cut the things out I didn't. And I started learning how to record at home, which was a lot of fun. Still is fun. And that time, that 2 years, was probably chalked mostly up to figuring out what I liked about recording after having excised the things I didn't like about music for myself.
And so where was that moment where you said, okay, I'm going to come out of the cocoon and I'm going to save the skeleton of this group and put it all back together as like a new thing? Where was really the trajectory of that?
I can definitely remember a conversation the three guys in the band had when Z was mentioning she wanted to leave for New Orleans.
Nashville.
New Nashville. New Nashville, by the way.
Someplace with an N.
Someplace with an N.
I didn't care where she was
going. I just knew she was leaving. I didn't actually know where.
moving to New Orleans. That would have been really interesting. That would have been...
Norway. She was going to Norway.
Norway.
Nantucket. Where the three guys discussed, like, is this something that we would all like to enjoy pursuing? And acknowledging to myself, having gone through whatever cocoon phase I needed to, that definitely that was something I wanted to pursue. And in some sense, we made the music not really knowing if Z was going to be a part of it. But we started making music that excited us. And if I continue going along with this history of the formation of phases, when Z got a hold of the stuff that we were doing at my house, that reversed her decision and she decided to stay in LA.
I purchased an OP1, which is made by a company called Teenage Engineering from Sweden.
So what does that do? What am I hearing in the music that it gives me that sound?
A combination of things. If you want to keep talking about the OP1, that's definitely an element.
Yeah, the element, I got this thing and it has drums, synthesizers and all that kind of stuff in this small thing, and I started, you know, writing certain riffs and beats and whatnot, and I would send those to Alex, who would kind of expand
in the cocoon.
Yeah, and I would kind of.
So it wasn't real. So then it was a fake cocoon because you weren't completely solo because you had outside conspirators.
Well, there was definitely a cocoon phase, but
there was a larva stage and all that.
Yeah, there was a whole many phases for old Alex Greenwald. Also, it was a lot of just you could come to Alex Greenwald, but he wouldn't come to
you. I wouldn't leave the house. Like, I'd order food in constantly.
Oh, it really was the cocoon phase. Yeah. So you're like moving and he's freaking out in the house.
I mean, it's interesting because
you go in there and find, like, you know, old candy wrappers.
I bet you could still. Well, my couch is being reupholstered right now, but if you did look under the couch cushions,
couch
you'd find a 2-year history
that
of
couch
some
has seen a lot.
Dog shit. Yeah. A lot of the sound also comes from in my cocoon phase. I did a lot of online searches for samples of things that I liked, and they ranged from. Well, don't tell anybody. They range from Transformers samples, like from the trailer, to old drum machines, some drum machines that were poorly sampled because I liked the sound of those better. And then I was using GarageBand. I learned on Pro Tools how to record music, but GarageBand was this very quick and easy way for once the idea sort of, the lightning bolt struck in my head, I could pretty easily and quickly transfer it to something that was musical.
Well, it's a very interesting thing of, you know, Alex and I, because Alex played and co-produced on the last Like record that I made, and we made that whole record to half-inch tape, all live in a room, all 60s gear, like most things are one take, some of the vocals are one take, and at the end of the day, there's a similarity to that like there anything that you're using gives you like a certain amount of like restraint and like constructs you have to work within. And it's the same thing with GarageBand of like there's something really to be said for things being a little simpler and a little more like confined to making you be creative in ways you didn't know how to, had in you.
Form poetry.
Yeah, because it's kind of like if you have all the possibilities in the world, it's, I don't know, it's hard to come up with the right one.
I got a good analogy. Many times when the box is small, it's easier to think outside of it.
Bam!
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to save you saying a line. You ready? I'm going to save this so you don't have to say it. If Blondie met Thriller. See, so I've saved.
She loves saying that.
I know you do. But there's something more there. There's something that when these songs were put together and when you decided what they were going to be, that then led to that key line. Can you identify some of the other things that really took you there? Other than Michael Jackson has cohesive albums that are danceable and that Blondie has, you know, vocals and really interesting parts that are also mostly danceable in many ways.
I think it's hard to say because it's something that really we were listening and I was like, you know what this kind of sounds like?
Right.
But I think there's a part of it of, because I kind of recently only got into Michael Jackson. Like that's not a thing that I grew up with. Right. And partly that comes from the fact that while it's like, and I mean, I love it now, but while it's like some of the best music ever made and, you know, like musically so inspiring and technically so inspiring and like the dude is a genius, it's not emotional music at all.
Because he was a very.
Well, it's, right. I mean, just like.
You're telling me She's Out of My Life doesn't make you cry?
I mean, Michael Jackson is extremely emotional.
I'm telling you, when that came out and I broke up with a girlfriend, yes. I would put that on and I would just sit there and weep.
To me, it never.
Yeah, right.
To me, it like didn't. It, and
but
I guess.
Billie Jean is not your lover. Kind of doesn't really make you go, I feel bad for the guy.
Emotional isn't necessarily the right word. It's just there's like a different kind of like bittersweetness to like new wave and rock and roll that's not in that music that felt to me like
it's not as precise.
No, it's just it's a different kind of sentiment. It's a different kind of tone. It's a different kind of sound that it felt when I was listening to our record, like it sort of married those two feelings to me of like some of the grooves of, you know, in Thriller and in Michael Jackson and some of the weird kind of like saccharine pop melodies with like kind of, you know, darker, complicated lyrics of like, you know, punk and new wave and rock and roll kind of all fused together in a way that, I don't know, created something interesting in my mind.
Yeah,
that
I feel like it's very much a band, like with the tensions and emotions and like process of a band inhabiting like kind of pristine production and arrangement of a dance record. You know, like I think we wanted to kind of be a band and live in that like Quincy sonic space.
And speaking of sonic space, on a geeky level, I did a lot of listening to Thriller during the Cocoon phase. And a lot of the basic tracks for the Phases album, I'm referencing a lot of Thriller in there being some drum machine, live hi-hat, live guitars, two keyboards on either side, sort of in a very simplistic way, but that you can definitely define the Thriller record aurally that way.
We build a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs on the outside as the bread and songs by others in between.